Hi there, I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact Every Day. More and more millions of people are reaching out to us and saying, thank you so much for the show. We say thank you to you for watching. Here's what we're going to be talking about today.
We have some breaking news coming in at this point of time. Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh and one of his bodyguards have been killed.
So there are reports like that one all over the world. Israel is on an apparent assassination spree. And where before only a fringe element in Israel would have supported something like this, now the mainstream Israeli is behind this and much worse. We're going to tell you exactly what we're talking about. We're going to show you in this program. This is Direct Impact. I am Rick Sanchez, and let's do this. Oh, my goodness. So much has been going on over the past 24 hours. Let's try and get to the facts first and set this thing up for you. After being exalted by the United States political and corporate establishment, where he instructed the U.S. Congress on foreign policies, he instructed the U.S. Congress, right, on foreign policy, and essentially said that he would be escalating the war in Gaza. The Prime Minister of Israel has done exactly what he said he was going to do. With the help of U.S. funding, weaponry, and satellites, it has now gone even beyond what the U.S. Congress would have suspected that he would do. Israel has begun executing a series of assassinations and killings, none more brazen than what they have done inside of Iran once again. This is an attack that has truly, reverberated all over the world. Watch.
We have some breaking news coming in at this point of time. Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh and one of his bodyguards have been killed.
And there are late breaking reports that a Hamas leader was assassinated by Israel in the Iranian capital of Tehran.
Hamas says its political leader, Ismail Haniyeh, has been assassinated in Tehran. Iran's Revolutionary Guard has confirmed the death, saying Haniyeh and his bodyguard were killed in an attack on his residence in the Iranian capital.
Yeah, this has been breaking news all over the world for the past 24 hours. We're covering it as well, obviously. So using extremely sophisticated U.S. intel hardware and missiles, Israel assassinated the Hamas political leader, Ismail Haniyeh. They killed him after the presidential inauguration ceremony there in Iran, where he had met, by the way, with the Ayatollah. They waited for him to get to his residence, and then they killed him and several people who were around him at the time. It seems nuts that something like this would happen on some sovereign territory. But before that, Israel assassinated another leader also on sovereign territory, this time with Hezbollah in a neighborhood in Beirut. And there are now reports that we have been following and that I've been looking at over the past half hour since I'm a journalist. This means something to me. U.S.-led attacks in Iraq have taken out members of an Iranian-backed group. And just as I was getting ready to go on the air, I started looking at the information coming over where Israel has also killed two journalists. Killed two journalists, targeted two journalists who work for the network Al Jazeera with a strike from above after, once again, let me make it very clear, targeting them. The onslaught of criticism against the Israeli government and the U.S. for these attacks is massive. Israel, meanwhile, has not exactly come across as either apologetic nor even solution-oriented. In fact, I want to share something with you. I think this is fascinating. I want you to watch this. I'm going to share with you the very first reaction that came from Israel was a cabinet member, and here is how he reacted to the news. Again, this was globally broadcast. Watch.
The Israeli Heritage Minister Amichai Eliyahu is the first senior Israeli official to react to the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh. In a post on the social media platform X, he says, "This is the right way to clean the world of this filth. No more imaginary peace agreements, no more mercy for these mortals. Haniyeh's death makes the world a little better."
Can you imagine? It's if you could possibly be less diplomatic than that, I don't know how you could do it, by the way. And he's the heritage minister. He's not the war minister. He's the heritage and culture minister. I guess that's the heritage and the culture there. It certainly appears as if Israel is making a concerted effort to escalate the war from the borders of Gaza to the West Bank into Yemen, Lebanon, and now Iran. But this is also happening at a time when Israel's hardliners are pushing their will with what appear to most civilized observers as extreme measures. Let me give you an example of, stay with me here. I want to give you this example. This is really important because this has been, we've been following this over the past 24 hours. This is something that in the past would have been repelled by most of the Israeli population, but would maybe have been applauded by a small fringe element, right? But now it's being celebrated by hordes of Israelis who are actually protesting for the right to be cruel. I am not kidding. What I'm about to share with you would almost seem like it's made up, but it's not. Members of the Israeli Knesset are forbidding military commanders from disciplining IDF soldiers who are raping their captives. You heard it right. No exaggeration. This is absolutely crazy, but it shows what the sentiment is in this country right now. Here's a Knesset member getting mad when he's told that 9 soldiers will be reprimanded for sodomizing innocent captives, some of whom, it turns out, were not members of Hamas. They were just Palestinian citizens who were picked up in a raid, as detailed in a report by the New York Times. The men are accused of torturing prisoners with a lead pipe by inserting it into their anus. And here is the reaction of the Knesset member, who is now supported by thousands of Israeli citizens who have been protesting in support of the sodomy.
להכניס מקל לרקטום של בן אדם זה לגיטימי?
כן, אם הוא נוח'בה הכל לגיטימי לעשות לו.
אוקיי.
הכל.
או מצוין.
הכל.
זה מה שרציתי.
הכל, האנשים האלה, אתה יודע מה עשו?
אוקיי.
מנו, טוב.
יש דברים שלא עושים.
This is a member of the Knesset. Again, according to reporting, the victims who had done this to them were not members of Hamas and were not yet tried, but this Knesset leader now has the backing of, dare I say, the mainstream in Israel. In fact, I think we may have some video of this. People who've now been protesting on behalf of the sodomy, saying, leave the soldiers alone. It's their right to sodomize, I guess. I mean, do we have that? Let me see the videos. Let's see if we, there it is. These are thousands and thousands of Palestinians going to the street, defending the police officers and the IDF soldiers who have been sodomizing prisoners. They say they leave them alone, don't reprimand them. These people are animals and they should be sodomized. This is crazy. How have things cascaded so far afield in Israel? And what is this going to lead to when it comes to both international politics and even domestic politics here in the United States? Manila, let me bring you in because, I mean, it's not just the fact that this thing is escalating, conflagrating perhaps, beyond the borders of Gaza, but also some of this stuff that we're seeing inside Israel is just, I never would have thought that the people I know in Israel and others who are Zionists, sure, but would go this far.
Yeah, Rick, I just want to point out, I know you misspoke, but we want to clarify this for the viewers. The images we saw of those protesters are of Israelis who are pro-sodomy, pro-rape,
right,
when it is meant to dehumanize and increase the suffering of any Palestinians. That's what those people were that we were just looking at.
Yeah.
Look, I think, you know, as you aforementioned, we are at this weird tipping point of whether humanity and civil society exist anymore, or if we are going to define, you know, humans to be on the same level as how you would gut and, you know, treat a cow or a lamb. And according to the United Nations Human Rights Council, and I'm going to look at it here, the Office of the High Commissioner, the UN, let's remember, Israel is a member of the United Nations in Article 3, as well as, I should point out, they are a signatory to the Geneva Conventions about how you treat any prisoners of war or any sort of captives or anything like that. Article 3 within the UN Human Rights says, in case of armed conflict, not of an international character occurring in the territory of one of the high contracting parties, each party to the conflict shall be bound to apply as a minimum the following provisions. 1, persons taking no active part in hostilities, including members of armed forces who have laid down their arms and those placed or is to combat by sickness, wounds, detention, or any other cause, shall in all circumstances be treated humanely without any adverse distinction founded on race, color, religion, faith, sex, birth, or wealth, or any similar criteria. And Part A says no violence to life and a person, in particular, murder of all kinds, mutilation, cruel treatment, and torture. That, I mean, come on, that says it in plain language right there. You are torturing these people that are in your captivity. And if the shoe was on the other foot, you know the outrage that we would be seeing, Rick.
Well, but that's the point. And I think that's what's so relevant in this case. See, I misspoke again. We don't have to look at just this one case. I mean, yeah, this is horrible. The fact that they were sodomizing people that they had just picked up in a raid, and as it turns out, some of these people were not even members of Hamas. They were just people they picked up who, I guess, looked like members of Hamas. But you can go to TikTok. You can go on Twitter. You can go on social media sites and literally see IDF members shooting and killing people and doing all kinds of torturous acts and bragging about it and turning it into videos and singing to it and taking their pictures, smiling in after going in people's properties and next to dead bodies. This is beyond the pale. And unfortunately, and I think this is the point that I'm trying to make, Manila, and we'll close out with this because we've got to get to Elijah, our guest, who's standing by to fill us in on what's going on right now in Lebanon. My point is, in the past, this would have been accepted not just in Israel, but in every society. Every society always has their weirdos, their fringe elements who want to go to the extreme. What I'm seeing now and what I'm hearing from my friends in Israel is that they're not happy that their country is now becoming not just a fringe element that's backing this kinds of things, but the mainstream. When tens of thousands of people go to the streets protesting on behalf of sodomy, as you just said, I don't know, I may have said Palestinians, thank you for correcting me. I mean, this is a tipping point.
Yeah, this is a weird place, a weird juncture that we're at in the world, Rick. As we had covered earlier in the week with the Olympics opening ceremony and the strange, bizarre performance that they put on that was kind of a desecration and a major insult to Christian followers and believers all around the world, you really have to start to question if we are at that tipping point of society where there's no more decency and decency no longer exists, even if you're bound to it by law, such as the Geneva Convention.
Well, that Geneva Convention, like, they give a crap about that. I mean, please. They don't care about the UN. They don't care about the Geneva Convention. And they basically make their own laws, their own excuses, and their own investigations. And by the way, they're not the only ones. The question is, what can the United States, or what should the United States or others perhaps now do about this? And that's where the rubber meets the road. All right, let's do this. Thanks, Manila. Great conversation. This is what the whole world is talking about right now. We're going to be heading to a break early because we're continuing to keep all of our fingers on the pulse of this situation, this craziness, really, that's going on right now in the Middle East. I've never thought these words would ever come out of my mouth, but a country is involved in a spree of assassinations as we speak. Elijah Monnier is a veteran war correspondent, a political analyst, 35 years of experiencing covering wars in the Middle East and elsewhere. He's going to join us next to take us through this bizarre day. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. My next guest has a lot to say about what's going on with the assassination of this Hamas leader. Take a look at what he just wrote. Israel and the U.S., he says, or writes, have sent a belligerent message to Iran, Lebanon, and Iraq that they want war, despite calls for de-escalation from the U.S., who were well aware of this assassination. No decisions have been taken yet, but war is knocking on the doors of the Middle East. Those are the writings of Elijah Monnier, who's a man who wrote that is good enough to join us now to talk about this. You know, it's funny, you say that the U.S. knew about this. I'm hearing the same reports that basically Israel picked up the phone and told the U.S. we're going to essentially use a missile to assassinate somebody inside the sovereign country of Iran. That's a big deal, isn't it?
Hello, Rick, and thank you for having me. It is indeed, because The Americans first, in the last few days, sent a message to Lebanon, to the speaker, Nabih Berri, saying that there are no attacks against Beirut or the suburb or the airport, and then urging everyone to de-escalate. And then they met with mediator like the Omani and the Qatari, sending messages to Iran and saying, we don't want to go to a wider war and we don't want to escalate, so let us all de-escalate and allow a deal between Israel and Hamas to be achieved. And then we heard the Americans saying, well, we knew about the attack on the Lebanese capital because the suburb of Beirut was attacked. This is where the Israeli killed one of the top Hezbollah commanders and several civilians, wounding more than 85 people. And then they have attacked another capital, that is Tehran, killing the political leader of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, when he was a host at the ceremony of an Iranian president who was extending his hand for peace with the West and saying, I want to, the reconciliation, I want to lift the sanctions, and I want to sort out all the problems with the West. And then the Americans go and bombard another capital, that is Baghdad, attacking the Iraqi security forces, Hajj Shabi, in three different locations. And then today we heard about an assassination of an Iranian officer in the capital of Syria, Damascus. And then several days ago, the Israelis attacked Hodeidah in Yemen, Sana'a. So these are belligerent messages that are sent by the Israelis to Yemen, to Iran, to Syria, to Iraq, and to Lebanon, escalating because Benjamin Netanyahu wants to drag the Americans with him to a wider war, and the Americans seems walking along because maybe there's nobody in the White House who's taking a decision these days.
Yeah, that's interesting that you would say that, because there really isn't. I mean, we have right now, obviously, the weakest condition for a president in the history of the United States with Mr. Biden, who seems to be practically a corpse at this point. And then we have Kamala Harris, who is very busy running for president, which means she's being told where to stand, where to sit, what to say, et cetera, et cetera. So she's being handled, shall we say. That means that there is an opening there for someone with authority to step in and take charge. And it looks like that person is Benjamin Netanyahu. Am I wrong?
You are absolutely right. Netanyahu understands how to deal with the U.S. administration. And this is what he said from the first beginning. He did not abide by anything that the Americans said. He asked them only to continue supplying him with weapons, with soldiers, because they've sent 2,000 of the Delta troop to Tel Aviv, including experienced generals. He is asking for intelligence support, and he is asking for all the support that he can get from the Americans and the Europeans, in particularly Germany, that is supplying Israel with 30% of the weapons. But he also gave the Americans a peace plan, saying that this can work as a negotiation paper. And then he sabotaged it, saying, well, no, Biden did not present the paper properly, and there are many holes in the document that Israel presented to America. So he is doing exactly what he wants, and the Americans are following. It seems that he is the one that is leading America by the nose wherever he wants, and he is fighting on America on his side, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and Lebanon.
What do you think will be the reaction from the rest of the world? Because, you know, if you can get away with it, right? You could say all you want about Netanyahu. You could say he's a bad guy and how dare he do this, et cetera, et cetera. But looks to me like he's a guy who gets his will. He knows what he wants. He goes out there and he does it. And then people like you sit here and going, like you and me sitting around having conversations going, I can't believe that they would do something like this. And I can't believe the United States would let them do something like this. But who's going to push back? Who is pushing back?
Well, that's a privilege of being part of the Western Club and have the support of the United States of America. And having this support, you can do everything you want by violating international laws, by considered as terrorist nation by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, by considered as a war criminal by the International Court, Criminal Court, and then the International Court of Justice asking Israel to stop the war and stop behaving as a war criminal and being conducted, there are investigation and a trial accusing Israel of intent of genocide. Despite all that, you can do whatever you want as long as you have the blessing of America. Oh. Because as Rex Tillerson was told when he came to office in 2018, human rights are applicable only against our enemies, but not against our friends.
So what about China? What about Russia? What about Brazil? What about South Africa? What about, Iran itself or Saudi Arabia? All these countries who are forming this group, we call them the Global South, we call them BRICS, whatever you want to call them. They're a force to be reckoned with, but I don't hear them saying anything.
They can't. There are 750 American bases around the world. They are the one who can talk and impose whatever they want. They are dictating the policy upon the world, and they have the total hegemony. Now, the dethroning of the U.S. and de-dollarization is a process that will need decades to be achieved. The Americans spend more than 60-70 years to reach wherever they are today. But today, the Global South and the BRICS and the Shanghai Corporation are trying to form some alliances, not to stand against the U.S., but to liberate themselves from the U.S. sanctions. But the problem today is, where are the Western values that we claim to have? And for how long people are going to watch Netanyahu doing whatever he wants and watching the killing of the civilians of the Palestinians, considering them as animal, sodomizing the prisoners because they consider them as animals, and it seems there is something in the Israeli Zionists that allows sodomizing animals. So maybe that is the case, and the whole world is watching and doing nothing.
So it's almost a clarion call, not just to the world, but to ourselves. I mean, I'm an American. I'm very respectful, and I love my country. I don't love my leaders or the way they behave. But it almost like there's an energy that needs to be manifested between people like you, people like me, like the millions of people here in the United States who can't stand Netanyahu, who hate what he does, including many of them who are Jewish Americans, by the way, who need something to get behind. And I'm not sure what that thing is, Elijah.
Well, it is not really rocket science. Two things. Return to values and respect international laws. That's it. There are no values in this war that Benjamin Netanyahu is conducting against the Palestinian civilians. When Joe Biden came out and he said several months ago, there are 30,000 civilians killed and the number is more than can be bared. So what did he do about it? That is the problem. If you think you know the truth, what are you going to do about it? If you want to respect international laws and you don't, then this is who you are. So the road is extremely simple, but should be applicable on everyone.
Yeah, sounds like the words of Martin Luther King. I guess we need to end by getting your appraisal of where things are going now. Obviously, the word that's being fearfully expounded all over the world is escalation. How far can this go? Are we looking at a wider war, one that's going to involve the United States and its allies, Iran and its allies, and perhaps some other countries? What's your best guess, Elijah?
I think the problem is today that Iran and Lebanon, they are going to retaliate. They can't allow Israel to get away with it. Otherwise, the Israelis will go further and will start bombing even more objectives in their capital, violating Lebanon and Iran's sovereignties. But the problem is, what Israel is going to do with the retaliation? Are they going to retaliate to the retaliated attack and then an eye for an eye and the whole world will become blind? In this case, the Middle East is risking to become blind.
You mean the whole place is probably going to be on fire potentially very soon?
Most probably, if nobody de-escalate and if the Americans, instead of putting pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu to stop the war and go to a deal, they send troops and more armies and more ammunition, it means they are encouraging Netanyahu to continue the war. This is not the way to de-escalate.
Yeah, and I think that is probably going to potentially have an effect domestically in the United States in terms of the presidential election as well, if this thing does actually escalate or conflagrate. Elijah, you're an awesome guest. Thank you so much for taking time to take us through this. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
We'll be talking again. That's our show. Thank you very much for being with us. Remember always to be looking outside your own box, as we like to say. Truths, they don't live in boxes. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we'll be looking for you next time.